You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella.
702.
All right, it's 25 minutes before 11 o'clock. I want us to talk about the post office now with the group CEO at the post office, Nomkhida Mona. You will know that the state-owned entity wants 8 billion rand out from government to fund its turnaround strategy and pay historic debt. It closed about 130 branches earlier this year. They recorded irregular expenditure of almost 200 million rand in the 2019-2020 financial year. It's recorded financial losses of 1.7 billion rand. Revenue has declined to 1.5 billion rand in the current financial year. It owes millions of rands to SARS for taxes relating to salary payments. It's battling to pay medical aid contributions on behalf of its workers. It's also struggled to make contributions to the UIF and pension savings for its workers. Things are not looking good. But the question is, can the post office still be saved? Thank you so much for making time, Nomkhida. I really appreciate your time. This is a dire picture of the post office. Do you really think it can still be saved?
Good morning, Clement, and thank you very much for having us. The SA Post Office really is an organization in transition. It is in a critical but stable position. And a direct answer to your question is we do believe that we can indeed turn the fortunes of the post office around.
Why has management failed to stabilize, fix the entity and make it work? Because it's been in the state of critical but stable in a while now.
This is true. It's difficult for me to speak to why in the past it has not happened. I've just been at the post office now for the past 6.5 months. And while I've done my own analysis as to what the issues are, etc., we are confident that going forward we should be able to do a number of the initiatives that we've put in place, particularly that we have identified a number of opportunities for the post office. All of us in South Africa look at the post office as a problem customer, if you like, but we also equally from within see a number of extremely positive opportunities that can actually come through to assist both the post office to remain standing, but more importantly, to ensure that we serve the country as we should.
You need 8 billion rand bailout from Treasury for the next 3 years. Government has taken a tough love approach on SOEs. Where do you think money will come from? Government itself is broke.
It is indeed a realization of ourselves that the fiscus in South Africa is under pressure, so we understand that. But because of the universal service obligation that the SA Post Office does have to fulfill for all citizens in the country, it is important that we lean on government at least for some of those obligations. Let me explain what I mean. We have a universal service obligation that all post offices in the world have to abide by, meaning that we do have to make available access to postal services, etc., to every citizen in the country, irrespective of where you find they find themselves. For instance, in the far-flung areas, in the rural areas, in the townships, in the urban areas, in the cities, we have to make sure that the service is available. And in those instances, you will find that in many of these branches, we will never become profitable. So it's just as a mandate that we have to continue doing, and it does have to be funded by government. So there is an element that we hope government would come to the party, at least for the post office.
But how do you justify, Nomkhida, government spending 8 billion rand it doesn't have on fixing an entity that's been kept afloat through bailouts with no tangible results?
Well, I think a part of our own approach is as follows. While we require that government assist us for part of the historical debt that we have, you will note that some of the establishments that we operate from are rented premises. So our landlords have really been working with us this long road where we have not been paying them. Some of them have kicked us out. Some of them are kind of helping us and trying to wait and see. So that's one area. So that's one. But in terms of the new strategy that we have put on the table to our board and also to the ministry. We are quite confident that as soon as we are, you know, helped to get over the hurdle, we should be able then to be self-sustainable as much as possible. So we're not only focusing on government giving us the money, we're saying how else can we also earn our own lunch and make sure that the post office is self-sustainable. But there will always be that element of the universal service obligation.
Yeah, and I think I've heard this before, Nomkhita. I think we've spoken to other CEOs who have come and said we're going to be self-sustainable again. The reason I'm asking how you justify government spending so much when it's been spending so much really and keeping the post office afloat and yet no tangible results is because I can't think of any positive results that we can point to, and maybe you can help us out. Point us to some positive results that you've seen at the post office as a result of the bailouts from government. Like, has the post office been profitable? Has it managed to pay its debt? Has it been run efficiently? I would imagine no is an answer to these questions.
I can respond in the following manner, when I found, having joined the post office, is that there's no shortage of good ideas at the post office. There are people who have given their lives to work for the post office. There are people who've been working here for 33 years and above, meaning they left school and they came to work at the post office. So the kind of people that work here are the people that do want to serve. Where I think it may have been a problem is that it's the implementation that has been lacking or that seems to have been lacking. So even as we ask government for some kind of assistance, we have identified a number of areas where we say we would have to reduce our liabilities in terms of the historical debt, but the bulk of the money should go into areas where that those that will support the sustainability of the post office going forward. Because if we take all this money and pay the debts off, it actually leaves us back at square one, which I think is what may have happened in the past because of the pressures that were there. But we've already got a plan that says we do need to digitize, we do need to modernize, we also need to ensure that the post office changes tech because it's no longer a postal service or mail revenue-driven type of an organization. Now we need to look at the issues around logistics. We need to look at courier. We need to look at warehousing. We have all these resources. We have warehouses all over the country. We have already been running a courier session, which is also quite reasonable price-wise. And those are the focus areas that we want to now really focus on and no longer just on the side.
Yeah, and I want you to talk to us more about that at a later stage around how you are planning on repositioning the post office to make it more competitive and relevant. Because as you say, the postal sector is changing. How many turnaround strategies does the post office need, Nomkhita? This latest one, my understanding is, was finalized last month. But how many have we heard before?
I can't speak to the ones in the past. I can speak to this one, which we are extremely excited about because it talks to where we are in terms of the post-COVID economy, in terms of what the economy requires in terms of the environment. And it's really very much aligned to where organizations like ours, both internationally and also within Southern Africa, have to participate. By way of example, we hold the chair of SAPOA, which is the Southern African Postal Agencies organization in the region. So we are seen as a very critical player in the region. And also we participate in the Universal Postal Union, structures which are international, and therefore we learn from those, but also we bring a lot to that.
Yeah, I'm asking this because it looks like every time there's a new CEO that comes, there's a new turnaround strategy. When you got to the post office about 6-8 months ago, did you not ask what was the plan before that was being implemented, before you guys come with the new plan? Because I feel we're producing so many turnaround strategies and we're never going to get to a point where we implement them because there's always this instability at management level. I don't know how long you're going to stay there. Who knows? If somebody else comes next year, they come with their turnaround strategy, we never get to implement.
I like this question. I'll tell you why. because exactly when I walked in, I said, what was on the table before? And if you had read the previous one and you read this one, you will see that we've lifted some of the elements of the older strategy that are still relevant, and we use them, and then we bring in a lot of new stuff. So we didn't want to throw the baby with the bathwater. There was no necessity to do that. And that's why we were able to bring this new strategy on the table as quickly as we have. By the way, I've been here 6.5 months now, and it's already gone through all the processes. We are not throwing anything that works or that could have worked in the past, but what we've identified is implementation.
Here's a
that's
quick
where we tended to fall short.
Yeah, before we go to a break, and we'll come back and talk more about how you're repositioning the state-owned entity, I want us to talk consequence management. Who has been held accountable for where this entity finds itself? Has anyone, for instance, been held accountable for the 200 million rand in regular expenditure?
Over time, there have been executives who have since left the organization purely because they were taken through disciplinary processes. They were found guilty in other instances. In other instances, they left on their own. But if I have to talk to the 200 million rand fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was incurred in the financial year 2019-2020, we are in the process of making sure that we are finalizing that, because the error that we made as the post office was to say there were investigations. The investigations found that nobody, there was no fraudulent activity around that amount. So the money was used to benefit the post office. However, people didn't follow the PFMA, they didn't follow the National Treasury regulations and or our own policies. So that's the thing that they need to have done. So we are in the process of ensuring that those people are now being taken.
But you see where the problem is then. Do you think South Africans want their taxpayers' money to go to an entity that's not only failing, but also seemingly doesn't take consequence management seriously? I mean, how soon can we expect for you to point us to real tangible actions and say that 200 million rand in irregular expenditure, these are the people that were responsible, that didn't follow the PFMA, that didn't follow the Treasury regulations, and here's the action that we've taken against them?
Sure, we should be able to give that information by the end of the month, because that's what we've actually promised SCOPA when we went to SCOPA last week, that we should be able to give them the information when they come down, because they promised to come and visit our premises and have further meetings with our board and ourselves.
All right. Nomkhita Mona, Group CEO at the Post Office. I'm going to take a quick ad break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. I see some of you are calling. You're sending some WhatsApp voice notes. I'll get to them as well. It's 13 before 11.
Your voice.
Your questions.
Your morning radio with Clement Maniatella.
This is 702.
I'm in conversation with the Group CEO at the Post Office, Nomkhita Mona. Richard, you're calling us from Benoni. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hi, Clement. Let me just pull up the radio. Okay, I'm off the radio. The post office is never going to work, because when I, as a citizen, a working man who earns a wage, walk in there, the staff on the floor treat me like I'm a piece of dirt that the cat dragged in or something. Now, I understand that they're unhappy with their wages and all the rest, but they're probably unhappy with the state of their wages, mm-hmm. because senior management earn 50 times what the lowest paid person in the post office earns. And it goes across the board. So I don't see any hope for the post office.
All right, Richard and Benoni, thanks. And Nomkhita, staff morale, how do you deal with that? And is there a discrepancy between how much senior managers are paid versus lower workers, the workers at the lower level?
Yeah, staff morale is a big issue at the post office. And it really has been, because over the years, the staff have had to undergo and go through so many, challenging and negative, circumstances. If I give an example, we do pay the social grants, be it the SRD or the normal social grants. And every month end. Every, the first week or second week of the month, we get robberies. We get some of our people, like a branch manager and an area manager, they get searched from home and on at gunpoint to say, go and open the safe, go and open the post office, we need to get the money. And we also have all sorts of things. So there's a lot of trauma in the system, you know, and people are worried. But also because of the fact that the post office has been in decline for a number of years now, which is the point you made earlier. And people at the grassroots level, they don't know, am I going to have a job tomorrow? Am I going to get paid tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. So there are those issues that we are focusing a lot on at this point, because we do need them to come to the level of understanding that we as a new post office are obsessed with the customer. Yeah. We exist because the customer exists. We no longer have the old government mentality that says, well, you need us and therefore. So that's one area. We're working very hard on that. In terms of discrepancies on salaries, I think it's a universal issue everywhere, not only in the postal sector. However, I will make this point because I think South Africans tend to actually use a lot of assumptions. If you look at me, having walked into this position in 2021, I am earning less than the previous CEO who was at SAPO because the board negotiated with me a much, much lesser package. But I took it because I really was a patriotic person. I wanted to try and help the post office, and I'm here. So this thing about there's too much discrepancy is actually not quite, I mean, there is an issue, but it's not only pay that motivates staff. We are now dealing with other issues as well.
How much, I mean, I really appreciate that you're more optimistic than I am. When I look at the challenges the post office is facing, I'm really struggling to see the light. You owe SARS, my understanding is about 600 million rand in outstanding PAYE contributions. So you continue to pay workers their full salaries and you deduct their PAYE contributions, but you don't hand them over to SARS. Have I got that right?
Technically, you do have it right, and that amount was as at end of June. It has grown a little bit up to now, but yes, you are correct.
But is that legal?
It's not legal. Technically, it's not legal. And also, we have not been deducting it. I think what we need to explain here is the following. We basically just, it's the last 6-7 months that I've been here, we actually have been living day to day. So it's a question of saying how much money has come in and how much is our, you know, payroll liability, what can we pay the staff, and we just don't get it. It's not that we have taken the money physically, but, you know, technically it has been deducted. So it's not legal.
Yeah.
Something we need to deal with.
Yeah, let's listen to these voice notes that have been coming through.
My major concern, though, Clement, is that is the post office still relevant? Are there any plans that they have to the thing to approach or to capture youth, and of course embrace the fourth industrial revolution? We are talking new technology now. Okay, are there any plans already in place to capture youth and of course embrace the fourth industrial revolution?
How do you make it more relevant, Nomkhita? And maybe you can weigh in as well on the legal battle between the post office and private courier companies to obtain a monopoly on the delivery of packages that weigh less than 1 kilogram. Because my understanding is you guys want the monopoly on all parcel deliveries under 1 kilogram. But as Kevin says on the WhatsApp line, the problem with the post office is that one just cannot rely on it. And he says, so my business doesn't use it any longer, and I don't know of any other business that does. We use courier services that have proved reliable. No business will move back to the post office. Nobody sends letters and invoices by post any longer. That's a message from Kevin.
Firstly, the voice note is very true. The post office is still, in terms of this role, it's still relevant. If I talk about how people access, you know, services, our future plan is to also make available other government services where the government doesn't have offices in the areas we operate. But that's one area. His question is, how are we going to, you know, work with, you know, the 4IR and making sure that we are relevant going forward? So in the strategy that we spoke about, it's called the Post Office of Tomorrow. What we are doing there is we have said we have to digitize. We have to modernize. There's just no two ways about it. We have something that we call SAPO in your pocket. So we want to run a bit of a hybrid type of a service where if you are able to contact and connect with us electronically, you are able to do that. If you need to physically go to a branch, you'll be able to do that. So it's part of the strategy. In fact, we've already started. You may have heard that we are planning to launch our MVLs, our motor vehicle licensing online situation. We are now at testing stage. We just found a few snags here and there. We should be able to do that. We are really moving fast in making sure that if we stay where we are or where we were a little while ago, the post office will not survive. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
To the point that you make around the 1 kilogram parcels, by law in South Africa, the SA Post Office is the only entity that is mandated, this is now by law, to be able to deliver any parcel from 0 to 1 kilogram. The reason for this was because they know that we have this universal service obligation, it was to enable the post office to be able to fund itself via whatever money they would make in that. But the law also has a proviso saying if the post office doesn't do it, then other people can do it. And for the last 20 years, we didn't do it, and the private sector came in and started eating our lunch. So it's not correct for us to, for people to say we want a monopoly. That's not what we want. We want you to say, by law, this is our purview. It's something that's in our jurisdiction.
But you also have an option.
And how can we work together? Yes. How can we work together, actually, with those who are doing unlawfully? That's what we say.
All right. Nomkhita, Mona, thank you for making time. We are out of time, but I really appreciate you making time to come chat to us. You have a tough task ahead. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, Clement.